Hello and welcome to Nightcap with Jim. I'm the titular Jim, and tonight we have a very special guest joining us on the podcast, which I will introduce you to momentarily. For more content you may enjoy, please check out our Morning Mugamy podcast and our other social media content at Mugamy Players across all social media platforms. Tonight we're going to be talking about the MCU and the DCEU as well as DCTV. We got a really cool episode for you. Stay tuned. All right, here we are to talk about the DCEU and some DCTV. Joining us for the very first time is Brett Trail. Brett, say hi.
How you guys doing today? Thank you for having me, the titular Jim.
It's really great to be here. You know, it's almost 6 months in the making, this episode, because, you know, ever since we started, you know, hanging out and whatnot, we've been talking about getting you on the show.
So yeah, it's like you told me about your podcast, and I'm like, hey, you should let me do that podcast. I have a lot of things to say, and people need to hear what I have to say.
I agree. You know, after all these months, you know, you've definitely got some interesting stuff. So let's get into it with DC. Figure we'd just start. We'd start at the beginning and just kind of go through and you know, kind of go to the future.
Where's your beginning? Because my beginning is the 89 Batman, but we're sticking with the DCEU.
Yeah, we'll stick with the DCEU. We'll probably do a huge big Batman episode, and we can have you back on for any, you know, all kinds of good stuff.
Well, then if we're doing Batman, it's Batman the Animated Series.
Batman the Animated Series is the bomb diggity.
Hands down.
Yeah. So DCEU. We start with Man of Steel, which I always kind of thought was, you know, it's all right. It's pretty good.
I didn't get it at first.
Me neither.
Really didn't. I was bored out of my mind. There was a lot of metaphor and like and symmetry that went right over my head, even though it was only 5 years ago, 6 years ago to the day. But watching it over and over again, I keep appreciating more and more about this story and more about how it really kind of dives deep into this. He is an alien on Earth, like fish out of water type story. Which we'll come back to, but he really didn't fit in, and he doesn't know where he belongs until he finds
this truth about himself.
Exactly.
Yeah, like same thing with you. Like the first time, I was just like, meh, whatever. But you know, going back
first
and seeing again,
is
yeah,
so slow, but it really
works,
does
though.
Build
it
up.
It works. Yeah, it's like it's all this. It's you're putting in all this story stuff to then build to this epic. Confrontation with Zod and whatnot.
Gotta give it up to Michael Shannon.
Oh, dude, he's incredible. Like
he's by far the best part of the movie.
Oh, for sure. Like I would never have expected him to be in a superhero movie, and I definitely would not have expected him to be Zod because he just doesn't come across as a tough mother, you know. But like, I feel like him doing Zod allowed him to then go on and do stuff like 12 Strong.
Yeah.
The horse soldiers in Afghanistan.
Or The Night Before, that Christmas movie where he played a pot dealer, Mr. Green, who is the guy who's, spoiler alert, he's the guy who has the mythical party and helps all these guys like really become true friends, and it turns out in the end he's an angel.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's just such a bonkers role, but then you look at him in that role and you look at him in Zod, or him in Shape of Water, he's such a diverse actor that can play all these different types of villainous or hero-ish characters, and you don't think anything of it. He played Elvis in Elvis Nixon with Kevin Spacey.
That's ridiculous.
And it's ridiculous. He looks nothing like Elvis Presley, but you believe it. And that's so crazy.
I think it definitely comes from Zod, though, like breaking him out. Because he used to just be like the really good supporting actor, you know? I mean, like he got nominated for the movie he did with Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, and you know, he put in all these great performances, but then you get to Zod and then like opened his career up, and now it's like, oh, now he's not just like good at all this character stuff, like he can do the big crazy action movie, he can do the big,
he can cut his finger off in an Oscar movie.
Yeah.
but you gotta give it up to Terrence Stamp, who really, you really do see that original Zod from Superman 2 in his performance. So like you definitely want to give it up to the OG. Because again, I'm piping up the older DC movies because I think they're fabulous. Even Superman 3 and 4, I can get a kick out of. But yeah, I just Man of Steel. The more I, especially the third act, the more I watched it, I just kept getting more and more intense. And every time I feel like it's like, oh, this really a time crunch. He's really like fighting. He's fighting for his new planet against his old planet.
Yeah.
And by doing that, is going to completely destroy his old planet, and he has to just give that up because for this love for his new planet that he has grown. Throughout this movie.
Yeah, his adopted birthplace.
Exactly.
Or home, I should say.
Like, even the Pa Kent scene, like, people like to trash on the fact that he was like, don't save me right now. Like, I know you have every power available to save me, but he made him choose not to save him, to keep his secret. But by the end of the movie, he realizes that's not good enough.
Yeah.
He needs to... save. Well, it's also he needs to use the with great power comes great responsibility. Wait, sorry,
that's Spider-Man.
That is the wrong superhero. That is my bad.
You're banned.
Yeah,
from the podcast.
Oh no, I've been ousted by every comic book nerd ever.
That was a superhero comic book faux pas.
Oh, it was a bit. I know that's Spider-Man, but it still applies to this situation. Yeah. He has the power. To save millions of people, also to destroy a city, we can talk about that. Yeah. But he chooses to use it against his father's best wishes.
Yeah,
and it's his adopted father's best wishes. His Russell Crowe dad is like, you gotta save everyone, and I'm a hologram. I think. Yeah.
Well, it's also like you have to from his adopted father from the Kent perspective. You know, he doesn't understand Superman's purpose in life, whether it's on Earth or what it would have been on Krypton if Krypton hadn't got all fucked up. You know, so it's like, because Superman comes from a family of kind of a protector class in their society. So you think, like, what if the scientists and the
protectors of the planet.
What if he had known, like, if he had known, I believe that Kent would have been like, oh, no, so you definitely got to... suit up and go.
Yeah, but that's the thing. And like a bunch of the comic book iterations, like Pa Kent is like the one who is like not only who tells him he's not of this planet, but is also the one that would encourage him to become Superman and to use his gifts for the greater good.
Yeah, it's just they killed him off before that could happen.
Right.
Is kind of what I think.
And that's got to be a Zack Snyder call, man.
Oh,
let's talk about that.
Yeah, Zack Snyder, like, he's like, I would have, if I was, like, workshopping, you know, sitting around trying to come up with a dream list of, like, who am I going to get to kick off the DCEU, Zack Snyder would have been.
It's never Zack Snyder.
He would have been at the top of the list for me because of his previous works, you know? Like, you start with the Dawn of the Dead remake, which is, like, that is one of the most beloved properties in all of horror films and just films in general, you know? I mean, like, the original Dawn of the Dead is incredible, and the remake is spectacular. Like, it's even... I think it surpasses the original Dawn of the Dead in terms of excellence, you know? Like, I love it to death. And then you have James Gunn writing the script, so you have that kind of connection already. Then you move on to, you know, 300 and Watchmen. Watchmen is, like, the first... is just so... in from my
Not
opinion...
a big Watchmen guy.
In my opinion, I think Watchmen is one of the greatest superhero films of all time. Like, and the fact that it's rated R just gives... and, like, I just love the character of Rorschach. Whoa. Like, the character of Rorschach...
that's great.
If
but
you
there's
don't,
also
yeah.
an hour and a half of other characters that I just... like, Ozymandian or whatever. So who is that?
Oh, yeah, like, it definitely takes a minute, like, a
right.
couple
I
of
feel
watches.
Like, I feel like I've only seen it once, and I just didn't like it that one time, but that's not, it's just, Zack Snyder has always rubbed me the wrong way.
Mm.
Everything I've ever watched that he's done, including the DC movies, up until, like, I started getting more used to his style and, like, seeing the, like, underlying subtext that he was putting into the movies and understanding that, like, I don't get to just see the DC characters I want to see. I kind of have to, like, interpret them in this different way because these are Zack Snyder's versions of these characters.
But it's also Chris Nolan and Emma Thompson, his partner, producing them. So there's still that level of just, like, that Christopher Nolan excellence in there, in the mix. In terms of, like, story and stuff.
But that's not... I think the thing I love about Christopher Nolan is... his directing style, not his writing.
Mm.
His dialogue is definitely not my favorite parts of his movies. Like, I could read a Quentin Tarantino script and just enjoy myself, or like a Kevin Smith script, but the dialogue's not always the greatest in Christopher Nolan's movies.
That's interesting.
Like, I can just, like, there's some great speeches in The Dark Knight, and there's some great quotable moments, but it's not the most complex or thought-provoking dialogue, in my opinion.
So, just to get off topic for a second then, so, like, right. Where would you rate The Dark Knight? Because everybody out there pretty much considers Dark Knight to be the greatest superhero movie of all time.
Nope.
And the
greatest comic book movie of all time is Infinity War. It's the greatest. It is the greatest representation of one of those event comics where all the characters are coming together to stop the one big bad. It is the most beautiful representation of that. Second, and very close second, is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, but they used animation, which I feel like is a lot easier to transfer a comic to an animated.
Well, because you still have the same visual style.
Exactly. It's exact same visual style.
So it's kind of like they had a cheat code, if you will.
Exactly. But that's just my opinion. I actually like Batman Begins more than The Dark Knight.
Ooh.
Especially if we're talking about what is the better Batman movie.
Interesting.
Because The Dark Knight is very much a Joker movie, and Batman is just an ancillary character.
I would agree.
To just keep the plot going.
See, I go the other way. I go Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises is just like a close third. Like a really close third.
Mm.
I feel like they lose a lot of steam whenever Bane breaks his back and throws him in the pit, and then Batman's in the hole for like 45 minutes.
See, like, I think that's incredible, because you have that whole dynamic of him, you know, not being able to save his city, watching it from halfway across the world, and so it's just building, like what we were talking about with Man of Steel, just building to that inevitable confrontation, and then when you get to that third act push and the battle begins, it's just like, oh my god, yes!
Yeah, but all the battle is them fist fighting. Like, straight up just punching each other in the face.
Well, yeah, that's what I like about it.
But that's not Batman, man. Batman is this otherworldly creature.
Well, it's Batman going to war, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's a war.
One of the other thing about the Christopher Nolan movies is he's set it so deep in reality that a lot of the mythology and the supernaturalistic, like, parts of Batman, the disappearing, reappearing, the like zipping up four stories and then throwing a batarang, like that just wasn't there for me in his movies. When that back to the DCU and jumping to the next movie in the franchise, or wait,
Dawn of Steel or Dawn of Justice.
I was like,
I mean, technically, we should have really started.
Suicide Squad come out first?
We should have started the whole thing with Wonder Woman, because that's the one that comes first in.
Well, then if we talk MCU, we got to start with Captain America, the First Avenger, and that's just crazy talk. the scene in the warehouse where Batman is going to get Diane Lane from what's his face, the KG Beast or whoever they retcon that character into to be a comic book person. Just like they did Jimmy Olsen, which we can talk about the Ultimate Edition. But that scene is the best portrayal of Batman I've ever seen.
I would agree.
In a live action form.
I mean, like, the hits are so hard.
He was a creature.
Yeah, the hits are so hard. Bat. Like, he's really become this persona that he created.
He's getting shot in the back and then just like, literally zip tying people and throwing them into walls,
and the stunt work is just extraordinary.
I wish I had the research in front of me or a laptop. I would look it up, because we got to give praise to the stunt coordinators in the DC.
Oh yeah, the stunt coordinators.
The DCEU has had some of the most incredible fight sequences I've ever seen. But I mean, back to Man of Steel. That was one thing that was completely lacking. The best fight scene was him destroying a small town. And then him destroying a major city.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, though, it's also in context. We couldn't see any. It's all in context.
Right.
Because
right.
he's fighting against Zod and the other Kryptonians. So it just invites that level of epic destruction and carnage as right. opposed to... Like, that's what is great about his fight with Batman. And, you know, because he's now brought down by this, you know, kryptonite gas grenades that Batman's using. And he's bringing him down to his own level so that he can... take him on, which I've always thought that if, you know, they really went for it, Batman and Superman, in a fight, Batman would come out on top. And every portrayal of their fights, he's winning until something happens
right.
To stop the fight or whatever.
Exactly.
Like in...
Even in The Dark Knight Returns, Batman wins.
Yeah, because he's a more thoughtful... like he just thinks more.
Superman fights more with emotion, and Batman's fights more with
his intelligence and his logic. Because he's like one of the smartest dudes. That's the one thing I feel like no portrayal of Batman has really brought home, except for like the animated series.
Batman, exactly.
Which is how intelligent he is. You know,
he is a true detective, and that's what Matt Reeves has been like throwing out there. About his Batman trilogy is like we're going back to the detective. He's going to be solving the mysteries and figuring out what these big old bad guys are doing. And they're like throwing a bunch of the Rogues Gallery in there. That's what I want to see. It's just like Gotham is so just riddled with eccentric villains that are all just like so mentally unstable that they have an entire insane asylum in Arkham to house all of the Batman villains. And we've seen maybe 7 off the top of my head of the 42 different villains. Like, let's see the Mad Hatter. Let's see the ventriloquist. Like, literally the weird puppet mobster guy that's like, he's just mentally, like, the ventriloquist is so mentally unstable that he's actually disassociated himself with the puppet. It's stuff like that
yeah,
is
like,
really
you,
what
and,
makes
and
the Batman story so powerful.
Yeah, and there's so many great actors out there. I mean, you throw Walton Goggins into one of these movies and give him a real juicy part.
Oh my God.
And he would tear it up.
He played Mad Hatter. Done.
Yeah, boom.
Sold.
Right there.
Like, I'll give you all of my dollars. Or actually, I'll go for free because I work at a movie theater. but yeah. Now that we're on to Batman v Superman, I'll just say it was too goddamn long, but for some reason the 3-hour and 11-minute version is better.
Yeah, I see. That's the thing. It's like there's certain things. Well, it's like I have the same thing with like all of Ridley Scott's movies because he always will go back and put out an extended edition, and every single time his extended editions are just better. There's just something about them that's like, and they're not even necessarily always longer. Sometimes he just cuts this little thing here. Sometimes he just switches, like just makes, you know, the editing flow a different way.
I mean, I know what,
and somehow, like every time it's just better. And then the 3-hour Batman vs. Superman is just wildly superior to the theatrical cut.
It becomes a Superman and a Batman movie. They were trying to make 5 different movies when they made Batman v Superman.
Oh, definitely.
They were
like
making
that's
a Superman sequel.
Yeah,
they were making a Batman Batman's
Origins,
first movie.
Yeah,
they were making
an introduction
for Lex Luthor. They made a Wonder Woman introduction movie,
and then they have the whole bit with the research that Lex Luthor has. So then
and
it's
to
like
tease
now
the Justice League
and teasing Justice
you,
League.
You throw Flash in for a weird cutscene time travel thing that still isn't explained,
which is great. I love
and it
that
never
moment.
Will be.
I think it will be once they do Flashpoint.
If we can count the days till Flashpoint comes out because you can just keep counting.
Yeah, I mean, like, Flashpoint is always one that's excited me because it's, like, my favorite Flash
right.
story.
The
like,
closest it ever came to happening was when there were talks that Robert Zemeckis was going to helm and direct the Flash movie. And that was only, like, a rumor.
Mm.
But how crazy would that be, the guy who directed Back to the Future making another time travel movie using one of the fun, crazy DC characters?
Yeah, Flash is just, he cracks me
no
up.
One, there would just be no one better.
Yeah, Flash cracks me up. But like, yeah, anyway, back on topic. Batman vs. Superman, see, I've always had some somewhat controversial thoughts about this movie because I adore it, you know? Like, I thought the theatrical cut was amazing, but then because that's the thing, because, like, it was the same thing that happened with Glass, you know? Like, I went to see Batman vs. Superman, and I loved it, and then I was like, wait a minute, because I started hearing about all the things that people were saying about how they didn't like it, and so I was like, am I crazy? So I had to go back and watch it a second time the next week and, you know, really, like, evaluate whether or not I was out of my goddamn mind. And I think I'm pretty sane, so... but, you know, I think it's fantastic. You know, like, there's things in that movie that no one's really done in a superhero movie before. You know, like, dealing a little bit more with, you know, kind of a little bit of, you know, like, the thought process and, like, how it affects how, like, you know, an extended... you know, tour of duty, if you will, of being Batman has what kind of toll that takes on Bruce Wayne. And I almost said Bruce Banner for a second, but how that affects him psychologically, mentally, and physically, you know, like over the time. I mean, like they did do that with The Dark Knight Rises as well, but you know, with Batfleck, which I was like, when I first heard of that casting, I was like, no, that's not gonna work.
Oh, yeah,
and
the
then
entire, but the entire internet was like, oh no way, Ben Affleck, that's the dude from Jersey Girl. He was in Mallrats once, he can't be Batman.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
everyone said that about Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton isn't Batman, like, he doesn't look like Batman, he doesn't seem like he'd be Batman, but he was freaking Batman.
Yeah.
And everyone loved the movie.
Yeah, like, and so, like, I was like everybody else, I was really, really skeptical, and then I see his performance, and I'm just like, whoa, that is the bomb.
I say best live-action Batman, Ben Affleck, best live-action Bruce Wayne, still Ben Affleck.
Yeah,
I got a soft spot for Val Kilmer when it comes to that Bruce Wayne.
Mm.
Yeah,
like, and then just like, I just love that scene where he's getting pumped up for the fight with Supes, and he's, you know, he's doing all his science stuff, and then the weightlifting and whatnot.
He was doing CrossFit. And let's be like, honest, he wasn't doing much science. He cut a piece of rock with a laser.
There was a little bit of science.
But then he was also just flipping a tire.
Yeah.
And in the extended scene, after it's all over, we get to see Batbutt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean,
that's
like,
what that scene
you
was
do
for.
Have to,
Ben Affleck was like, I got in such good shape for this movie.
Yeah, you do have to give him props, man. Like, he got jacked.
Yeah, man.
Like
he's too old for this crap.
His profile, like they were actually saying, is bigger than Superman's.
I mean, but you watch Justice League, and you can literally see his body shape changing because he's, like, done, and he's just like, I know I'm not going to be Batman, so I'm just not going to keep putting in the work. So, like, there are scenes where his suit does not fit. And then there's scenes where it's perfect. It's pretty funny.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, any further thoughts on Bad for Soup?
I went and I saw it, and I saw it by myself, and there was a drink promotion going on. You could either get, like, this weird blue fruity drink called, like, the Man of Steel, or the Dark Knight, which was literally just a Jack and Coke. So I got a Dark Knight, and I sat down to watch my movie, and I didn't get it. So I went and saw it again, and I fell asleep. And it really didn't take until I saw the Ultimate Edition when I was at home to really, like, appreciate the things that Zack Snyder chose to do. But that being said, I don't like it.
See, yeah, again, I still think it's great. I love the fight between them. I wish the fight went on a little bit longer. Like, I just wish there was more action stuff, because, like, that, I feel,
dude,
like, that,
I mean,
fight,
like,
was great.
Every
and then
review,
the way that it
right.
turns around, I don't understand why everybody is so bitchy about how the fight stops with him saying, "You're letting Martha
that's
die."
What I was about to say,
because here's,
like,
the thing: if
everyone,
you just
every
if you,
bad reviewer, every
if you
reviewer
literally break
is
it
like
down,
Martha theme.
If you just break it down and think about it for 2 seconds, it makes perfect sense. Why that would affect him the way it does. I mean, because think about it. One,
yeah.
It's his mom's name, too, duh. And his mom's fucking dead.
But it's not, like, his mom, and it's not, like, Superman's real mom. That's
well, yeah,
what I'm
but,
saying.
But still, though, if you just break it down and just think about it, like, as a human being, from the perspective of a human person, you know, like, your mom's dead, her name was Martha, this dude that you've been fighting and you consider to be completely alien, there's no humanity in him at all, and that is the first spark of humanity that Batman sees in him, and it's not just him calling out, you know, saying that you're, it's not him saying, you're gonna let my mom die, it's you're gonna let Martha die. And so he is now has a chance to save Martha.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, how does he see the humanity if he doesn't even know it's his mom? He's just saying, oh, there's a lady named Martha that's going to die, and that just so happened to be your mom's name. We could do an entire podcast about the Martha scene, but I honestly, we should just move on to Suicide Squad. I'll leave it at that, though. Like, there are moments that I will watch over and over again that'll be in the greatest clip shows of movie history ever made, but it's just there's too much that is not for me. When I watch a movie, I'm always like, what can I cut? And there's so much I can cut from Batman v Superman, and then there's so much from the new, like the Ultimate Edition, that I'm like, oh, that could be instead of this, that could be instead of this. Like, did we need to see them in the bathtub? Do we need to see Superman and Lois Lane in the bathtub?
See, I don't like those scenes. We don't. In movies at all.
It's literally, you're just trying to establish character, but we know these characters.
You're just, We've grown up with these characters. Everyone's just trying to show a little boob and butt, you know? Exactly. Like, and it's completely...
get a little TNA action from the soups.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of TNA, Suicide Squad.
Yeah, like Suicide Squad, that movie is pretty, like, interesting, like, just like it's, because I thought it was great at first, and now every time I watch it, I'm like,
it gets this worse. It gets worse every time you watch it,
and it's such a bummer.
Such a bummer. Yeah, James, you owe me a Coke. But no, it's literally like the first time I watched it, I'm like, this is dope. This is so cool. These are characters I never would have really watched a movie about. They're all pretty interesting and like comedically like jokey, and like they all have their stories and it's laid out. But then it does start to feel like a music video. It does seem super choppy the more you watch it.
The reason why it's just another sky beam, let's kill a bunch of faceless creatures. Well, the reason why is because they took the cut away from David Ayer, the director.
Sure.
And they gave it, and so like the guys who did the trailers for Suicide Squad. They were like, oh, Warner Brothers, we really like those trailers. Why don't you guys give us a cut of the film? And so they gave it to these jokers who I don't even know if they've ever edited a movie before. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, what do you... Like, you can't... Like, first thing, okay? David Ayer wrote the thing himself. He gave you a script for you to approve for him to go and start filming. If you didn't like the script, then you should have said something at that stage, as opposed to waiting until he spent $150 million and, you know, 6 months filming the goddamn thing before you be like, oh, I've got a problem with this now.
Right.
Because then you do what they did, which is they took the cut away from him, and if they just let David Ayer have final cut approval,
right,
which is what, like, which is what every other director in the MCU gets, you know.
DC.
Kevin Feige is the one who really gets the final approval, but he at least is like
almighty.
But at the very least, he's like, do your cut, and if as long as it's good, then that's going to be the cut. But with Warner Brothers and DC, they keep taking things away from the director and they fuck it up. And 100%. It's just like, what are you guys doing? Because you don't care about this process at all. If you're going to approve a script, let the guy spend $150 million shooting the goddamn thing and then take his final approval cut away from them. And then wonder why, and then you go and you just hack it up and do this and do that and do whatever the hell you want with it, and then you wonder why people have a problem with what you're doing with the DC, because you have some of the greatest characters of all time.
Literally, they're modern mythology. I was thinking about this on the way here. Superman is our Hercules, Batman's our Achilles.
Like, yeah.
These immortal men that we idolize since we're growing up, people we aspire to be. And you just muddle them up when you're just not accurately representing what we wanted to see. All the stories are there. They're laid out for you.
Yeah.
On the pages of comic books.
Yeah.
You just have to be creative enough to adapt the stories that you're giving correctly. Like, it's weird to say, but like, because there's no correct way to do it, but it's just, because there's no pleasing everyone.
The right way is just do the characters right.
Yeah, there's no pleasing everyone, but the MCU's figured something out.
Yeah.
21 films in.
Yeah.
But yeah, or 20, about to be 21 with Captain Marvel.
Yeah, but anyway, like it's just ridiculous because Suicide Squad could have been so cool.
It could have been great
because Suicide Squad's one of my favorite teams. That's one of my favorite teams in all of comic books is the Suicide Squad. And like,
James Gunn, please save it. Yeah, you gotta save the Suicide Squad.
I mean, like even David Ayer has said that like he realizes he should have just made Joker the villain of the piece,
right?
Which that would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah, but Warner Brothers was probably like, we need a sky beam. We need a weird sky beam that's gonna destroy the whole world.
Yeah, like, but like, see, but like, if they had gone Joker, see, that would have made so much more sense
because
for one thing, it's when you start
like that's Joker. That's what everyone wanted. Like everyone likes to hate on the Jared Leto Joker, but then after seeing the movie, they're like, oh, they needed to put more Joker in. Yeah, let's put more of the Joker no one liked in. I never said I never liked the Jared Leto Joker. I like the adaptation, and when we wrap up all these DC movies, I'll tell you what we needed to do with the Joker.
Yeah, but it's like, that's the other thing, there's just so many things that but like the one thing that DC has always been getting right in this extended universe they've been doing is they've been super reactive to the fans. So like,
to a negative point. That's the thing. Too reactive.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, well, Superman, like, you look at Superman, and everyone's complaining about the level of destruction in the end, in the battle with Zod,
right.
And then the first thing that happens in Batman vs Superman is Bruce Wayne in the city, and that justifies entire movie Batman hates Superman so much is because he was there, he saw the destruction, he sees what Superman is capable of in his power, and then that's why he hates him so much, and that's why he's got to fight him. Yeah. And then Suicide Squad, everyone's like, no, we wanted more Joker, and they released the extended cut with Joker.
One extra scene of them on the highway.
And it's just like,
okay.
It's like,
it's good development, but it's
I mean, like, I appreciate amazing. You guys, you know, like, reacting and stuff, but you're still fucking it up.
I mean, literally,
like, I like the opening of Batman vs. Superman. I think that's a great way to open it and a great justification for why Batman, you know, needs to kill Superman. Like, I think that's makes perfect total sense. But, like, you know, like, dude, you already took the cut away from David Ayer. Right. You should not be putting out an extended cut. Because you don't know what, like, because David Ayer shoots in a very specific way, like the way that he crafts a story and things. I mean, he's one of my favorite filmmakers because you look at stuff like End of Watch, and it's one of the most magnificent films ever made, I think, and probably it's like the best cop film. And then Fury, yeah, it's one of the best World War II films of all films.
To call it the tank movie.
Yeah, like it's just absolutely incredible piece of filmmaking. Like the guy has got the skills to pay the bills.
Development, and yeah, they had good characters in Suicide Squad, but they chopped up the movie.
Yeah.
To a point where it just didn't seem like a movie anymore. It felt like an extended music video.
And yeah, and the worst thing is like all the work that these great actors put into it. Like, you know, Will Smith went full Keanu Reeves on it, went training with, you know, Navy SEALs
and
stuff. And it's like, dude, this guy like straight up put in the work where he's able to be out on the range with the AR-15.
That's probably my favorite scene is where the Kanye music kicks in and he just like bang 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 bang, and then he's like, any questions? Sit down, Ike Barinholtz.
Yeah, like for real. Like that, like that's just because he got the skill set. And you know, developed his skills enough to the point where he could do that shit in real life. And it's like, dude, this guy went out and fucking became Deadshot. Like, right. And then, you know, Margot Robbie, who I think is one of the most gorgeous people on the planet.
And she's just a great actress.
And a great actress.
Like, those two did a fabulous job. I think the makeup for Croc was Oscar worthy and won the Oscar.
Incredible.
We should have been, you know what, we should have been calling this movie by its proper name. It's Academy Award winning Suicide Squad.
Yes, that is true.
Because they won an Oscar.
Yeah.
Like they Suicide Squad and Leonardo DiCaprio have the same number of Oscars. And Kobe Bryant. Fun fact. But yeah, it could have been so great. And I think DC, like you were saying, so reactionary to the point where in Batman v Superman, they're literally like, oh, I'm going to lead him to this abandoned warehouse part of Gotham. Specifically, so they're like, oh, we can destroy shit.
And but no not have a bunch of
mad.
People
No one's going to get mad about collateral damage.
Yeah.
But I really think they rectified it and let their... Watch this lead in. And let their director take their story and make what they wanted to make when it came to Wonder Woman.
Oh, Wonder Woman,
it's so
no complaints.
Good.
No complaints.
Every time I watch that movie, it gets better and better. The fact that they don't ever directly call her Wonder Woman because it doesn't really make any sense.
It doesn't
name.
Matter either. I think.
The fact that we don't get her in the full costume before the scene in the like
in the trenches.
Like, metaphorical no man land scene where she's crossing the land where that no man can cross because she ain't no man. And that's just such an emotional, powerful scene, and what it did for like female comic book lovers and female comic book movie lovers. It's just, it's unprecedented. It was Black Panther before Black Panther had come out for female representation in the superhero movie world. And the fact that it didn't fuck it all up is great.
Yeah, like,
Patty
it's just
Jenkins
so
killed
well,
it.
Yeah, like, so many just, like, amazing, empowering things for women, you know? Like, biggest opening for a woman, you know, most money from a woman director.
Right.
Like, just all these great things, you know, like, Gal Gadot just kills it, too. Like, she is perfectly cast.
She's
as
a model,
woman.
Man. Like, she was, and she, not only was she a model, she was also in the Israeli army. Because that's something, if you live in Israel, that's just something you do.
Yeah, you got to do at least 2 years of service in the Israeli
Which
Defense
is crazy.
Force. And so she's actually got this skill set as well, where she is a legitimate badass. Like,
she,
if you know anything
knows,
about
like, battle
the,
strategy.
Yeah, if
like,
you know anything about the Israeli Defense Force, like, those are some tough motherfuckers. Like, everybody in Israel is hardcore, but, like, once you put them... Like, they're already hardcore, but once you get them into their military, then it's just, like, it's a whole new
That's
level.
That's one thing I'll thank Zack Snyder for, because recently he posted a picture about how it was just of Gal Gadot in her, like, Wonder Woman costume doing, like, testing photos. Like, it was that first official image we ever saw of Wonder Woman. And he's like, oh, I decided she was Wonder Woman. Well... before this picture was ever taken. And I'm like, yeah, because it works. It works so well. All the stuff on Themyscira just being so bright and, like, actually, like, I can see stuff happening. That's so great.
Well, it's just because Patty Jenkins finally introduced this new style, this visual style into it. Because before, like, we had these Zack Snyder and David Ayer. Because that's kind of what their style is visualistically. But then you have Patty Jenkins come along and she literally breathes light into
Patty
the whole
Jenkins
thing.
And oh my god, why am I blanking? Whoever just did Aquaman.
Oh, James.
James Wan.
James Wan.
I kept wanting to say Justin Lin, and that is incorrect. back to Wonder Woman. It's just so completely entertaining. People love to trash on the third act being like a CGI fire fest, and I'm like, yeah, but it's you have a god fighting a god killer. What else are you going to do?
Yeah,
people like to shit on the fact that David Thewlis was this like preppy English fop, but turns out to also be the god of war, and that doesn't make any sense. I think David Thewlis becomes incredibly menacing, and you trust him at the beginning. Like, it was a good turn. I thought Ludendorff was going to be Ares the entire time.
Right?
I really did.
Like, that was a red herring that was, like, so obvious that, you know, we all just took the bait.
I just looked right past it.
Yeah, we just took the bait.
I was just ready for DC to be like, oh,
because,
this is
obviously the way that David
Thewlis
plays it, too, is, like, he is so helpful and he is so, like...
Love David
With them on their side. Like, he just... He totally sold this whole thing so that when the turn does come, it's just like, what? No. What?
Right.
No. But he was nice.
Yeah, and it's not the best CGI, and like that's great. But like, never once has DC ever had the best CGI, so that's great.
Well,
I
the
think
MCU
the best
does
CGI
have...
they've ever done was in the very first movie. It was the Man of Steel, and it's that like 2 seconds that Henry Cavill's face changes to Christopher Reeve's face when he's going up and flying up towards the Gravitron to destroy that thing that's like shooting a laser into the Indian Sea. But it just doesn't quite work. But it works a lot better than Steppenwolf.
Speaking of Steppenwolf, Justice League.
Right.
See, again, this is one that I really, really liked.
Same.
But now every time I watch it, it just gets a little. There's just a little bit something gets taken away.
See, I don't have that same thing. I really like it, and I still really like it. But I think every time I watch it, I'm better able to pick out where the Zack Snyder scenes start
and
where the Joss Whedon scenes start.
You can definitely
tell.
That'll
take me out of the movie a little bit, but I still really think that the Justice League movie is my favorite of the DCEU films, at this point.
Yeah.
Until we talk about the next film.
Yeah.
But at this point right now, Justice League is my favorite, and it's the most like the Justice League animated series.
Yeah.
The same people that made Batman the Animated Series did the Justice League series and Justice League Unlimited, and this really felt like the camaraderie and the teamwork
that
show had, especially when Superman came back.
Yeah, like
that was the best portrayal of Superman Henry Cavill ever gave. It felt like Superman. He felt upbeat, American. He felt like the Boy Scout I've always wanted to see him do. And it's a shame if he does end up leaving. And I really hope he doesn't. And I really hope we do get to see Superman in Shazam. But the end credit scene where he races the Flash is
so cool.
Out of the animated show.
Yeah, so cool.
It is an entire episode, and it made me giggle like a schoolgirl.
Yeah, that was just like, because I remember seeing that too, because like I love the Batman animated series, and I love the Justice League animated stuff, like, especially like the character of the Martian, you know, like, that character just like Martian trips me out. Yeah.
My favorite DC character.
Like, that character trips me out, because that is a character that, like, when I walked into the animated show for the first time, I was like, I'm not gonna like this guy, and I fucking love Martian Manhunter.
John Jones is
like
the best.
He is so cool.
Oh, if you read more about him in the comics, it just gets better and better, and his story just gets more elaborate. And I think he's the most powerful out of the Justice League. Like, not only is he super strong, can fly, and is
he can like phase
invulnerable, but he can phase. He can shapeshift. He can literally, like, take the form of any person he want, Mystique style.
Yeah.
He can read minds and has telepathy. Like, just all these additional powers, but, like, the one thing is his weakness is fire.
Yeah.
And that's one gripe I do have with the Justice League going forward, and the Justice League comics going forward, is get Cyborg out of there. Mm. He is a Teen Titan. He always should be a Teen Titan. He's, like, a high schooler, college football player that, like, gets this mother box attached to him, sure. But why is he kicking it in the big leagues? Yes, I get it. He's powerful, but he was more entertaining on the Teen Titans. And
He
just doesn't fit in the story.
I feel like the only place that he really makes sense to be like a part of the Justice League is in Flashpoint. Because
impactful part.
And that's another thing. Like, because when people were complaining about Batman vs. Superman, is like, oh, Batman doesn't use guns, and I'm like, you obviously haven't seen Flashpoint, dick.
Yeah, but that's Thomas Wayne, and
it's still Batman, though.
Yeah, okay.
It's Thomas Wayne Batman.
We can go off into the comics.
But anyway, Justice League, yeah. You know, I still really like it, but like, there's still things that's just like, oh, I like it just a little bit less every time I every time I see it, because it's just like Steppenwolf. I'm not really a fan of that villain and the way they did it.
There's no establishing who the hell he even is. They're like, oh, he's this guy from this place, and he's coming to turn our Earth into this place.
Yeah, like, I mean, like,
that scene was cool. That freaking scene with where they show Zeus and
Ares
and Artemis or whatever with the bow and arrow, but then also the lantern.
Yeah, that
the
was
green freaking lantern.
Yeah, those lantern core. Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
That was one of my favorite scenes. And it was like the army of men, the army of Atlanteans, the army of Themyscarians. It's just like crazy, bro.
Yeah, that's the movie I want to see for real.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Like that scene is unabashedly Zack Snyder.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like the
comedy really is where Joss Whedon comes in. But I mean, like, even though Zack Snyder said it was going to be lighter, this movie, because they're all coming out from this right. They're coming out of the dark places and into the light, if you will. But still, you know, like, Zack Snyder doesn't get jokey. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so it's like when you could, and then of course the whole mustache controversy.
Dude, and I'm telling you right now, like, when I went into Mission Impossible Fallout, I'm like, this mustache better been worth ruining the freaking DC franchise, Justice League. And you know what? It kind of was. That movie was way better than Justice League. I'll be honest with myself.
Oh yeah, like Mission Impossible Fallout.
But
they
could have let him shave the freaking mustache. Yeah. That was just studios being petty to other
studios. and the worst part about it being that movie had like two or three stoppages, because like one was because Tom injured himself, And then one was for something else. I forget what it was. But, like, they had stopped production, like, two or three times on that movie.
And then went back to reshoot. So, like, it's like, it lined up perfectly. Tom Cruise hurt himself. You guys can't shoot. Let him shave and grow it back.
Yeah.
Or buy a fake mustache.
Yeah.
That's a lot more convincing than CGIing off a mustache. But you know what?
And it's cheaper, too.
Hey, if you look at Superman's eyes when you're watching the movie and not at his upper lip that looks like a baby mouth, you barely even notice.
I mean, they did as best a job as they could.
Right. It's just like, how many dollars did they spend?
And then, that's where you can really tell where it's Joss.
They could have just gave him a beard. People grow facial hair. Like, if he's not truly dead, you can still grow hair.
Yeah, like, his body is still, like, doing stuff. It's not like, you know, like, he's just done dead.
He should have came back with the mullet and, like, and the beard and the black suit. And there was no reason why he had to be shirtless in that scene. But it was still cool to watch Superman fighting the Justice League. And watch that scene where Flash is, like, running behind him and Superman just, like, look back and, like, hey, I see you. And he's like, what? And then he trips.
Moving on to Aquaman.
Yeah, see, we didn't even talk about Aquaman in Justice League because I wanted to save it. I freaking love Aquaman. Aquaman is my favorite DC movie. It is the most entertaining. It's the best world building. It's just like, it's something we've never seen before. No one's set a movie underwater and been able to pull it off like they did for Aquaman. And Jason Momoa is just the broiest bro and the coolest dude I've ever seen. And I want to hang out with him. And I want to drink Guinness and throw axes with him and ride motorcycles. And he's freaking Khal Drogo, man. Like, it's just, it's so unabashedly entertaining. They took Aquaman, one of the essentially lamest characters to ever hit the DC comics, and turned him into a complete badass.
Yeah, like, it seems like, because I still haven't even seen this movie yet, but, like,
whoa!
It seems to me like James Wan did the kind of job that where, like, because every time I've always thought about Aquaman, even after Justice League, I always think about him in the context of his portrayal on Family Guy, where, like, there's a girl and she's getting assaulted on a beach and she's like, someone help me!
No, see, I think...
And then Aquaman pops out of the water and he's like, hey, you better stop that, man! Like, I'll get you! And then he throws a starfish onto the beach.
Buddies, yeah, and then, like, a couple of fish
there. Yeah, like some starfish. No, like, that's always how I think about him, and so it seems funny. Like, when I see the James Wan Aquaman, that I might finally take Aquaman seriously for once.
Whenever I think about it, I think of two versions, and it's the one from Robot Chicken where they literally just shit on him all the time. And then it's the one from South Park, and it's not Aquaman, it's Seaman. Yeah. And that's always makes me giggle. But no, like, Aquaman is the new definitive Aquaman. Like, Jason Momoa has taken that character and changed it around. Even in the Lego Movie 2, they show the Justice League, and it's not yellow hair, orange suit, green pants Aquaman. It's literally Jason Momoa, Aquaman with the tattoos and everything. And Jason Momoa is voicing him.
Oh, that's tight.
Yeah, he came back and voiced himself as a Lego.
That's tight.
So great. But, yeah, like, him, Mira, Amber Heard, Patrick Wilson as King Orm, Willem Dafoe, they all just give such great performances for underwater mer people. It's just, it's like something that we never thought we needed, and it's great.
Well, speaking of things that we weren't sure that we needed, Shazam.
No, we need Shazam.
Well, we do need Shazam. It's
we
like...
need big, a movie that is a cross between Big and Superman.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Yeah, it's just like I think for people who are outside of comic books, who aren't like fans of these characters, are like,
yeah, Shazam's definitely one of those outliers.
But like, because I love Shazam, like I love him. Such a cool character, you know. And I was
on the record, yeah. Shazam is my grandpa's favorite superhero of all time, but he always calls it Captain Marvel. He refuses to call him Shazam.
Well, that's what, because I was talking with Heath on his podcast, because he's doing Shazam as well, and so we got a little bit into the history of like why this happened, and like what happened was it was Captain Marvel, and then, you know, like, he was outselling Superman at one point, you know, just like this incredibly insanely popular
right,
character.
Right, because he was a kid. It was something, like my grandpa tells it all the time, he was a child that became a superhero. It's what every child wanted to be.
Yeah.
So all the little kids reading it related to Shazam more than Superman or Batman or Wonder Woman, and it got huge.
Yeah, and then you know, just moving down the line, and then they changed the name of the comic to Shazam, but the name of the character was still Captain Marvel, and then it was a couple of years ago
that
they finally
Shazam
just threw in the towel.
Shazam has always been a part of the comics. Shazam is the wizard that gives Billy Batson his power, so it's always been Shazam, boom, you're a grown-ass man now.
Yeah.
But the fact that, like, it was just a legal thing. Marvel wanted the name, and like it's all just a bunch of papers.
Yeah, and DC
money.
Was just like finally just like throwing in the towel. Sure. Whatever, we'll just call him Shazam from now on.
And now they and then they New 52'd him, and his origin like is all wacky, and like sometimes he's a bunch of children.
Yeah, like that was
like in Flashpoint. We should have just talked about Flashpoint.
Yeah,
I've read and watched the animated movie about Flashpoint. And yeah, I love it, but. It's super weird and something I would never want to stick with in like a DC universe.
See, I mean, like Flashpoint is like the one thing that's just like always hooks me. Like that I can always come back to Flashpoint is just like one of my favorite stories in comic book. You know, like I love like the whole twisting of the Batman origin, you know, and like how that's different in this universe. And you know, it's just, I love it. You know, we'll see what happens with that.
Right. And after that, like, nothing is super official. Oh, well, there is the Joker. And then after that, Birds of Prey is shooting.
Mm.
Or is it Gotham City Sirens? I can't even remember. No, it's Birds of Prey.
Yeah. That sounds
right. But I don't think there's anything officially slated after that.
Yeah, I think after Shazam, just we're kind of going to be in a dark hole of what's going to happen next.
I'm excited for the Joker. I don't care who
and
says
Joker,
what.
Yeah, like Joker is one of my most anticipated films of the year. Like
good or real. No one will care.
Yeah, like I preface it all the time by just saying I don't understand why they're doing it. Like
why they're doing it. So yeah, we're gonna wrap it up here in a second.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you what they need to do with the DC going forward.
Yeah. So all right, we've been talking for a while now, so we'll take a little bit of a break here, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Don't go away. Stick around. We got some more good stuff to talk about. All right, we'll be right back. All right, and we are back with special guest Brett Trail. Super glad he's here. So that was pretty epic, that last segment. Probably should have warned you guys this is going to be another long one, but shit happens. So just to jump back in, we'll cover a little bit of like what we think should be going down with DC, like how they should start handling it. But really quickly, I just want to hit on DC TV. I know you don't know too much about DC TV.
That's not necessarily true.
Well, you're just not caught up.
Exactly.
I mean,
I'm like one season behind for all the shows.
Yeah.
Like, I missed this last crossover event with Batgirl and everything, and I missed this whole, like, set of seasons.
Yeah.
But I'm, like, season 5 Arrow, I think season 2 Supergirl. But, yeah, I know my stuff.
Yeah, so, like, DC TV I really love. I think that's where DC is actually shining and, like, doing everything right. Like, they're just killing it with DC TV.
Right, because they're allowed to be campy and fun, and you're allowed to get King Shark on Flash.
Yeah, like...
Like, you get a shark guy.
Yeah, like, it's just... They're able to... And, like, Legends of Tomorrow, so they're able to do all this quirky,
interesting
stuff.
Yeah, I love Legends of Tomorrow, especially... I think it was season 2? Where Rip was, like... He was like brainwashed or something, and they were going through time to find like Jesus's spear or something.
Oh, the Spear of Destiny.
Right, and there was that episode where they had to get George Lucas to make Star Wars or something. Like those episodes were great because they were completely bonkers. They were with a bunch of DC characters no one really gave a fuck about.
Yeah.
But they were completely entertaining.
Yeah, it's just a group of misfits that
are
just like,
it's just
out
like,
on the outside of everything.
Can we yank out of the comics real quick? Let's throw some Hawk people, maybe an Atom or two.
Yeah, just like all kinds of like, and I just love the way that like the crossover events work too. Like they're just so much fun. Yeah. Like
see, Crisis on Earth X. Harken back to those crossover comics where it's like, oh my god, these characters are interacting. That's freaking amazing.
Yeah, like I feel like DC TV is like what DCEU should be, and it's like because like they did it like MCU. You know what I mean? Like they started off with someone really strong, like Arrow, to start this whole universe building thing that they wanted to do. And I freaking love it. You know, like Arrow is one of my favorite TV shows out right now, period. Not, you know, just like to relegate it to, you know, comic books or superheroes. Right. It's just so well made. Like the fight scenes are incredible. Stephen Amell kills it. Like I love how jacked he is, like how his physicality
Every
of the character.
He does that salmon ladder, man. Yeah.
Like it's just like everything about that show is just so well done. And, you know, and Flash is great and Supergirl. Like, I loved how, you know, like, I hated the fact that it started outside of this. Then when was it Fox that it originally aired on or ABC? I forget.
No.
But wherever it originally aired.
Didn't it go from.
Because it went from another network and then CW picked it up. Because CW.
On CBS.
CBS, there you go. I love how they were like, oh, Supergirl, you guys don't want it anymore? Fine, CW, we're going to take it and put it into our stuff.
They threw in there.
And then Black Lightning.
That show is like doing its own thing. And I've heard nothing but great things. I watched the first part of season one, but kind of just fell off.
Yeah, like DC TV, I think, is killing it. Like they're doing
it
really good.
But you said earlier that you wish that the DC movies did the same thing because it would be
they rushed it too much, you know.
But that's the thing with the shows, they have a lot more time for character development.
Oh, absolutely.
What DC didn't do was give us character development.
Yeah, like
just,
I'm not saying it should have been like 10 years for a Justice League movie.
Putting all the characters together so they could catch up with Marvel.
Yeah, like I'm not saying it should have been like 5 or 10 years for a Justice League movie.
Sure,
but like they just went way too fast. You know what I mean? Like
right.
Justice League should not have been in the
from
fifth movie.
Superman,
yeah,
to Batman v Superman, also starring Wonder Woman.
And then
and
also
like,
you have like the introduction of these
Batman
guys.
We haven't seen Batman or
Wonder Woman
story yet.
Exactly. And
we still haven't seen
they
Batman
just they
story.
Rushed it way too quick. And now they're in this place where they're jumbling things and they're all over the place. And like nobody knows what they're... Like the Joker, like we were just talking about. Mm-hmm.
How's that going to fit?
I'm super excited for that movie. But how is it going to... Because it seems like it's out of the realm
let
of stuff.
Let me tell you
but,
how this
but,
new
yeah.
Worlds of DC is going to work. Because we've been calling it the DCEU, but officially... DC Comics wants it to be known that like their new movie film universe is called the Worlds of DC or something, I think. It's terrible. But it's basically they're saying all these movies are going to exist in this universe, but they're really not going to interconnect anymore. They're all going to be their own self-starting stories. But what they could do is still keep this all in a comprehensive universe, and this is how you do it. We have our Aquaman locked. He did great. It's the highest grossing DC movie franchise. So Atlantis is covered. We all love the Wonder Woman. We have the new... Oh, we didn't talk... I knew we missed something. The Wonder Woman 84, the Wonder Woman sequel.
Mm.
That's wrapped up or something. I think they're all done filming that. That's coming out next year.
Oh, son of a bitch. Yeah.
But yeah. We love Gal Gadot, so we keep them. People, even after Man of Steel and Justice League, people loved Henry Cavill as Superman. We keep him. Ben Affleck's out. He said it on Jimmy Kimmel. He's done. He doesn't want to be Batman anymore, and it sucks. But the way they established this Batman in the DC universe is he's an older Batman. He's been through the ringer. He's been doing this for 15 years or so. He has a dead Robin, like... This isn't his first rodeo. His bat suit is all scarred and stitched up. The set of movies Matt Reeves can make just needs to cast someone young enough and someone convincing enough to grow into who Ben Affleck becomes.
Mm.
Then all of these Batman movies, we could have 3 Matt Reeves Batman movies set in the DC universe with not only Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, but possibly Jared Leto's Joker, and I'll tell you how that works in a second, and their entire rogues gallery, but he eventually grows into being Ben Affleck, and all you need to do is just tease, like, what's to come when it comes to these other heroes.
Mm.
Like, tease about someone searching for Atlantis, or tease about people getting lost at sea and ending up on a mysterious island and full of all women, just like a news report. That's all you need to give us.
Yeah.
Just connecting it to those other movies that will eventually happen in this universe's timeline, but has not yet.
Because
like I said, Batman has been Batman for years in this universe. It's established in Batman v Superman. He's like a veteran. It's basically Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
So we return to the Batman Begins era and get a Batman Year One story.
Yeah.
And then a sequel and then so on and so forth. And the Joker movies will line up because with the Joker, we never know who truly the identity of the Joker is.
He's got like 59 million different origins.
19,000 people.
Yeah.
He's been multiple people.
Yeah.
Jared Leto's Joker is just some guy that saw what Joaquin Phoenix's Joker was doing in the 80s and 90s and maybe late or early 2000s when the Batman was the Batman.
Yeah.
He saw what he was doing. The Batman finally cacked the Joaquin Phoenix Joker and he becomes this gangster type dude who stole the identity and went and got the same dip treatment as the original Joker and became the new Joker.
Or maybe now, they're both the Joker. Or maybe Joaquin Phoenix's didn't get the dip. Like, is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Because
it seems maybe, like the way that they're setting it up
one
is that is exactly. that is that That's a good call. he just is like this like clown person that you know like literally like a professional clown that's just things aren't working out for, and then for one reason or another his mind just flips and the switch just gets turned and you know now he's batshit insane.
Right.
So and it could be that, and then and then Jared Leto's Joker could have just been this kind of street tough gangster guy, like you were saying, and then he got dipped and then transformed into
I was thinking more he was like trying to be who this Joker was and then got dipped.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, we got this Joker now, but we've already had this other Joker before.
Yeah.
And we've seen Batman fight this Joker in Suicide Squad, so there's already a history with this Joker, and we can see the younger Batman fight the older Joker,
yeah,
and that'll also work. And I think the universes can still collide because, like in Shazam, we can get Superman cameo that could all work. And then when it comes to making your new Justice League movie, you do what the animated series does, and you're like, hey, Batman didn't want to be part of this team because he's Batman,
yeah,
and he's always flown solo,
yeah.
Besides the whole Bat family, but he's flown solo and done his own thing and doesn't want to be restricted by a league, so all the other characters besides Batman become the Justice League, and Batman's just off not being Batman or doing his own thing.
Yeah, he can just retire.
It could all still work.
Because he's still tired. Like, so he could just give the Wayne family mansion, because that's what they did at the end of Justice League, is set up that the Wayne family mansion is going to be the
and
Justice
he
League
just
headquarters.
Dips.
Yeah, and he's just like,
He pulls up Dark Knight Rises and fakes his death.
Yeah, he's just like, guys, I can't do it anymore. I'm done. And then
all of these new movies and this whole franchise still works with the movies we've been given.
And then someone could also take up the mantle of Batman in the future, because like we've seen throughout all of comic book history, Marvel and DC, we've had multiple iterations of a lot of characters. It's just because someone took up the mantle. You know, Miles Morales took up the mantle from
Peter
Parker.
Always been talking about a Dick Grayson Batman.
Yeah,
so
Dick
introduce
Grayson.
Dick Grayson in these older Batman movies that Matt Reeves is making.
Yeah.
So that when we get back to modern
to
day,
now, yeah,
Dick Grayson's Nightwing can just be Batman.
Yeah. That could
there you go.
Totally work.
See, like I said, I've got this figured out. Someone at Warner Brothers, give me a call.
Yeah, DC,
I'm
look,
right here.
Listen to Brett here.
Come
he's
on,
got,
man.
He's the man with a plan, all right?
Mr. and Mr. Warner, I'm right here. I'm completely available.
You
I
heard
will
him.
Take your call.
You heard it here first, guys. Exclusive for Nightcap with Jim. Brett Trail is available for work with Warner Brothers.
Or Disney, or Universal, or any major company. I would love to do that.
All right, so that's enough of DC.
Right.
Moving on.
Marvel, more comic books.
MCU, yeah. So, MCU has always been just kicking ass ever since Iron Man.
I wouldn't say always.
I mean, they've had some...
Definitely had a better business plan than the DC had.
Yeah, like, they've stumbled here and there, but they never, like, fell on their face.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
you got your Thor the Dark Worlds, or your, what's the other one? You Thor the Dark Worlds. And then you just pick up momentum again.
Yeah.
I didn't like Guardians the first time I watched it, but now I watch it and I cry like four different times.
Yeah, like I saw that the first time, and like that first opening scene, I was just like, tears down my face. Because, like, that was just so soul-crushing and heartbreaking. It was just, like, that... It just rended my heart.
Well, that, no, I talk more about the end. Like, the stuff with Yondu
kills me. Yeah, the stuff with Yondu is just, like... Because that character starts out in this... Like, the, those two characters start out in this such this contentious relationship.
Yeah, but and they for get it to a evolve, relationship.
Yeah.
Like, general statement.
For the way that
Marvel
it evolves.
Has given us so much character development.
Yeah, totally.
And was able to give all of these different stories and... And characters their due before making them meet up, and that's why it all works. They had the plan, they had their Kevin Feige, they had their one voice, one image, one mind.
Yeah.
Set this whole thing up.
Well, they kind of ran
executed.
They kind of ran
and
it like
they don't have that at Warner Brothers.
Yeah, they kind of ran, they're kind of running the MCU like a television show, you know, where you have
not even
where you have
well,
a bunch
I would,
of you
I would
have a bunch of
yes,
well,
you,
well no but like but,
really.
But like but it's like so it's like you have all these different directors coming in and doing these episodes, right? But you have the showrunner, which is Kevin Feige, and so he's the captain of the ship. He's at the helm, steering this whole thing, right. And you know, like guiding these different directors and writers to where we want to where.
But I wouldn't say guiding because I feel like every
single not guiding,
director
but just
brings
like,
their own tone to
but,
their own.
Like, oh, absolutely, yeah. Like you look at James Gunn what he did with the Guardian stuff, and then you immediately look at you know.
The Russo brothers and what they did
Russo
with Winter
brothers.
Soldier.
And
it's
you,
completely two different movies.
Yeah.
In,
I mean, even
tone,
Joe Johnston
in,
from First
in,
Avenger
in,
to...
Images and
to,
CGI
yeah.
and reality, like, it's...
just. And then you look at Doctor Strange, and that looks like Inception on steroids.
Exactly.
You know, just like all these, like, very unique voices
sure.
in the MCU. And you look at Black Panther and how unique that is and how it stands
right.
Where it does, you know. I will say this, though. I don't believe it deserves a Best Picture Oscar nomination. At all.
I disagree.
See, like,
I disagree mean, wholeheartedly because the Oscars are what, to me, are a celebration of what movies can do and what they can like bring to popular culture.
Mm.
And Black Panther, it was the biggest impact. It had the most impact worldwide out of any movie released this year. I didn't love it. I can't relate to it. But there are millions of people in America and worldwide that did relate to this movie, that did get to see their representation up there on the screen for the first time ever. And the movie didn't suck.
Yeah.
It was a great movie, thoroughly entertaining. There were some CGI issues, but the performances and the emotion and the power were
oh,
all
yeah.
there.
Like, I think it's a great movie, don't get me wrong.
It's
I,
not gonna
I love
win.
It. I love it. But, like,
if,
I just don't.
Wins,
I feel like
Chase
it's...
wins, and I don't want Chase to win.
It's just like Chase I feel wins. Like I feel like it's a token. It's a token nomination. You know what I mean? Like, it's a great
no,
movie,
see,
but like
no,
it doesn't.
I wouldn't say that because it took. I think the token nomination would have come last year with Logan, and it didn't. And that's why I think what Black Panther did was different.
Well, no, that's...
This wasn't then just being like, all right, we'll finally acknowledge comic book movies. It's like, all right, we acknowledge that this comic book movie did something that most movies don't do.
Well, yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, even, like, this year, like, or last year, I should say, you know, Infinity War, as you said, was the great... You consider the greatest superhero movie of all time.
Comic book movie.
Comic book movie.
Yeah.
Okay, see, that's the distinction we have to make.
Yeah,
because
right?
superhero, I don't consider that a superhero movie because it's just a battle film, is what I consider it. You know, like, it's this culmination of all these... You know, run-ins we've had with Thanos over the years.
If anything,
and
it's
then,
a super villain movie because
yeah.
it's Thanos' movie.
Yeah, there you go, right there.
Right.
Like, but I consider that a battle film. You know, because like
also
just
the
whole
fact that the MCU could lead up to a movie that is
oh,
a
it's incredible. Like, I love Infinity War
and
so
everyone
much.
Buys it.
I adore that movie. Like, I you know you go back on this podcast and you listen to my episode where I talk about Infinity War and it's like I'm gushing because I love
right.
it. You know,
no, I mean shout out. To one of our coworkers, Chase, he literally almost died in Infinity War. He looked at his Apple Watch and his heart rate was at like 163, and he was just like, "If this gets any more intense, I'm gonna die." But no, Infinity War is a culmination of a feat that
yeah,
had,
absolutely
in
incredible.
Filmmaking that has just never been accomplished before.
Yeah, just
no,
it's
the
unprecedented.
The only thing that comes close is the James Bond franchise. But they're just, like, switching out the one guy and, like, doing the same old over and over again.
Yeah.
But this is 20 movies, all with their own tones, all about interesting characters that we've, like, all learned to love. And just where their stories all end up. And they all end up in the same place, in this one goal.
Yeah.
And like, it's never been done before. Yeah, there's nothing like
unprecedented in the history of filmmaking, and it's like the way and the fact that they've done such a good job with it
is an honorary Oscar for what it did.
See, like, yeah, like it, I, that's what I like. I agree with that a lot more than nominating Black Panther. Like, it's again a great movie. I just don't feel like
it's a nomination. The fact of the matter is, if the Academy wanted to, they could have nominated two more movies. They only picked 8 this year.
Yeah,
they have 10 spaces they can use.
Yeah,
and one of them is Black Panther, and I do think it's like rightfully there, but it won't win.
Oh yeah, it definitely, like, because I mean,
we don't know. It won the Actors Guild. It won the SAG Award, the Screen Actors Guild. That's, for Best Picture.
That is true. I mean, we'll
and actors, I guess we'll be see. Voting, but yeah, this turned into an Oscar conversation.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah, but
Sunday,
yeah,
Sunday.
Yeah, but
that's my Super Bowl.
Yeah. but yeah, like the MCU has just done such a great job. With the exception, this is the one thing, the one caveat I have with the MCU is the Netflix shows, because the Netflix shows are so damn good. And they're so unique, and you know, Iron Fist was kind of like they just threw that guy into the show way too soon because he did not have enough time to train.
I watched Iron Fist.
Because if you watch Iron Fist, like, there is too much editing.
Just gone,
there's too much editing in the first season.
Not to be racial, but like, they should have done an Asian American casting.
I mean, that would
not
that
only because the fighting would be more tech, like realistic and technically enjoyable, but it's just like, this dude did not represent who I think Iron Fist is. Iron Fist, to me, is the most, like, there's a representation of Iron Fist in one of the Spider-Man cartoons that was on Disney recently, and it's Greg Sipes, who plays Beast Boy, who is this just, like, hippie, vegan, animal-loving dude, and he's like, what's up, bros? but he had the perfect, like, Zen Buddhist voice, just, like, this dude who's just mystically, like, always meditating and stuff, being inner peace and stuff, but like, Danny Rand in the Netflix series was just a little bitch boy. He was like a little crybaby bitch boy.
Yeah, I was like, not a huge fan of.
That's
of
so not it. That's not it.
Yeah, like, but
that's
Jessica
the only
Jones.
I had, and he works in the Defenders when he's working off of the other characters.
Yeah, it works in the Defenders. Like, but like, Jessica Jones, great.
Great.
Luke Cage, great. Daredevil, incredible. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, some of the best fight scenes ever.
Season 3 just blow me away every time I watch
it. Like, just best fight scenes, like, some of the best fight scenes of all time, period. And then Punisher is just, like,
Punisher is unreal.
Punisher is just, because, I mean, Punisher's my favorite, I've talked about this so many times, my favorite comic book character of all time, like, any of them. So, if I was ranking them, it'd be Punisher, Deadpool, Batman, and then other people.
Sure.
You know, because it's just, like, but Punisher, I gravitate towards him because he's such a real grounded character, you know, like, and he means so much to so many people, especially in the military community, you know, like,
yeah, now, especially.
And it's like now, especially, like, more than, you know, like, and the fact that John Bernthal did what he did with the character was magnificence, pure and simple, like, just absolutely amazing, incredible performance from him. Like, I will love John Bernthal.
Right, it's that Marvel casting. I don't think Marvel's got a casting wrong completely, besides maybe Danny.
Yeah, and then just the whole Terrence Howard snafu with recasting.
Case, I don't think they got it wrong. Some dude wanted more money.
Yeah, like, it was just...
And they weren't going to give him more money.
And then Edward Norton wanted to turn Avengers into the Hulk movie.
Yeah, well, Edward Norton is notoriously not easy to work with and always wants to put in his 2 cents into the script and the edit and everything.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's the kind of actor that literally, like, he'll sit in the edit room with the editors
Someone who's edited a movie, that'd be obnoxious as fuck.
Yeah, that's... But, like, I mean, for whatever reason, his process works, because, like, he's great. He's a great actor.
Sure.
You know, I mean, like, he's way too involved with stuff that he should not be involved in, but for whatever reason, it works.
Right. He honestly has one of those tones that kind of reminds me of, like, the Jay Baruchels or even, like, the Owen Wilsons, where it's like, hey, no, stop it. Like, get away from me.
Marley.
Yeah, like,
Marley.
Hey, wow. But yeah, no.
I don't know.
Mark Ruffalo has always been
Ruffalo.
Best Hulk, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, I would
agree. Because Eric Bana didn't do jack shit for the character.
Oh. Yeah, that was a pretty
forgettable. That movie makes me sick sometimes. Yeah. I'm just like, that is just so bad.
I mean, and Ang Lee directing it, like, Ang Lee's a great director, but I would not have given him a Hulk movie.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But But yeah, the MCU's just been doing a really great job, and like Kevin Feige is, you know, as we were saying, is kind of, you know, one of the main reasons of this, and his story is really interesting because if you actually go back to 2000, when with X-Men, he was a production assistant on that, and now he runs this giant.
He's always been in it.
Thing, you know, so like he's always been there.
I think
he
had his hands in the Ben Affleck Daredevil in 2003, and I think Blade also. It's just like this has always been his ship to sail.
Yeah, like he's always been 100%, and that's why it works, is because he gives a shit and a half about the characters and the universe. So it's like he puts in the work and puts in the effort, and that's why one of the big reasons why MCU does so well. And then moving forward, you know, we have a bunch of cool stuff to look forward to. Like we have Captain Marvel coming up pretty soon here.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited for.
Well, we only know what we have up until Spider-Man this year.
Yeah.
Nothing else has been announced, but I'm ready to see like a Miss Marvel, like a Kamala Khan, Inhuman, like her character would be great for like the Arab representation or like the Muslim representation. Mm. And she's great. She has like stretchy powers and like can have like great like giant fists and stuff. She's inspired by Captain Marvel, so like she could have that storyline. We could do. I've always wanted to see a Moon Knight get like their version of Batman up in there for no reason, but like Moon Knight also has like disassociated like multiple personalities, so
that would
be super interesting. Just like there's so many things they can do still.
Yeah,
they have so many characters. I hear that Annihilation might be or Annihilus might be the next big bad after Thanos, which would just be insane. I've always thought we should have Kang the Conqueror.
Or Galactus.
Through time. I guess Galactus. What is he
going to do? Galactus worlds.
Always has just been like, oh, I'm the big dude that's bigger than the planet, and I'm here to eat you.
Yeah, like that would be cool to see the Avengers go up against that guy, especially like with this new injection because of the deal that they made with Fox and Sony to get all these characters back, which is really great because 20th Century Fox has been fucking up Marvel properties for 2 decades.
2021 needs to be, or maybe 2022, man. I'll give them till then.
Yeah,
give me my Fantastic Family, man.
I know.
Give me my four.
It's
I need a MCU version of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, my dad, his favorite character is Silver Surfer, his favorite comic book character. So it's like, he's always been bummed out, like, even when Fantastic Four Silver Surfer came out.
I'm gonna throw mine out there since everyone's talking about their favorites. I love the Hulk. I had anger issues as a kid also, and like my mom used to say I'd rage out like the Hulk, and he's always just been my favorite.
Yeah, so it's just like, you know, like, it's just such a, like, 20th Century Fox has been fucking up Marvel property for 2 decades, and I'm fucking done with it.
Well, not all of them.
Not everything. I mean, like,
there's
Logan.
There's some good X-Men movies.
Logan worked, you know, but it's just like
Days of Future Past worked.
That's
two worked.
There's a couple of good ones in there, but like Fantastic Four
garbage.
Has just always been this black mark on the studio, and it's a studio that usually does really good stuff. So when they fuck up Fantastic Four once, twice, three times in a row, I'm just like, you're done. You don't get any more shots.
Mean, literally, the director of the Fan4 stick, the third iteration.
Yeah, Josh Trank.
Yeah, he literally trashed it on. It was another situation where the studio just kept hopping, nosing their way in. And it's just, it's a damn shame.
Yeah.
Like,
it sucks, because it's like, that guy...
But not really, because it ultimately leads to them with...
Relinquishing
over the rights.
Yeah, I mean, like, and the only thing that kind of scares me is that they might... is that MCU Marvel might recast Deadpool when they get Deadpool back.
Impossible.
And it's like,
it's
if
the
you
one
did
character
that,
that'll work.
Yeah, it's the one character that they can carry over.
Yeah,
because
Deadpool,
and it won't be
kind
a problem.
Of always has existed outside of the Marvel universe.
And he makes the jokes
fourth wall
all the time.
And he's like literally killed the artists before.
Yeah, like he's, you know, he makes the jokes all the time, you know, like, oh, like which Professor X are you taking me to? McAvoy or Stewart?
Right, exactly.
You know, and then he calls
fact
Josh
that Deadpool
Brolin.
Deadpool knows the outline.
Yeah, and then he calls Josh Brolin Thanos in Deadpool 2. And so like they could
work,
carry him over, and it
right.
would work perfectly fine.
But you recast everyone else.
Oh, yeah, everyone else. You got, I mean, it's like the only thing tough is Logan.
No, it's not tough, because just give it to some motherfucker. You gave it to some motherfucker before, and that was Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
He has no physical representation of Wolverine whatsoever. But it worked, and we all loved it. I've always said we need to just give, like, we need to, if we ever want to see Hugh Jackman is Wolverine again, we'll get Old Man Logan. Like, true Old Man alternate universe Logan.
That would be really cool.
That could work too. And then you just get to see him again for, like, an episode or, like, a movie or something.
Yeah, that would be tight. Right? You know, just, like, have him come out of retirement for one movie, do it really quick.
And just find some hairy short kid, man, or hairy... You can even be a hairy tall kid if you want it to be.
Yeah, just get some...
Just get someone jacked and someone hairy, and boom, you got a new Wolverine. I'm not going to be super picky with him. But, yeah.
And then, Endgame. We have to talk about Endgame for a minute.
No, we don't. We can just wait until when it comes out, then the conversations will be had. I've literally only watched the first trailer that came out, that first promotional material, whatever, where Tony's, like, on the ship and everything, and everyone just looks so depressed.
Yeah.
I just don't have the need or want to see any more material.
I mean, yeah, like, it's just...
I'm gonna see this movie. You know, they don't need to sell me.
I mean, yeah, it's interesting, right? It's like, this is one of the biggest movies of all time.
No,
And they don't have to do any promotion for it at all. They don't have to let people know that it's coming or that it's out.
You know why they don't? Because their promotion is literally an entire feature-length film called Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah, like...
And they're like, oh, shit, now everyone has to watch the second.
Yeah, like, we... like they just they're like just
Twilight,
like, we made
$150
million. Dollars.
Breaking Dawn Part 2.
You know,
you can't just see the first one.
Yeah, like, we... Yeah, just like they just made a $250 million two-hour 20-minute trailer for Avengers Endgame with Infinity War. Just like, boom, okay, now we can put out like one trailer and like make two posters and we're fine.
Right.
Like, they don't have
I'll
to do anything.
I'll say this about Endgame. If they fucking skimp on the Hulk again, I'm not going to be happy.
Oh, I don't... Like, that's, I think, what's going to be... Like, that's just like...
Split the Hulk.
Because it could be
Professor Hulk.
Yeah.
Like, literally, Professor Hulk is just Hulk... Fully green, fully strength, but with Bruce Banner at the helm.
Yeah.
So he's smart, and he's strong, and he has no weaknesses.
Yeah, like, that would be incredible. Because, I mean, like, that's what I think is great about Infinity War, setting that up, you know, is, like, now we have...
Yeah, there's something going on.
There's always, like, and all these characters have got something going on now, like, psychologically and mentally, physically, whatever, you know, so there's, like, all these problems they have to solve before they can even get to the point of making a plan of coming up with something to do about the whole Thanos problem, you know, like, they have to figure their own shit out before they can even do anything, which is so great. Like, Tony's got to get back to Earth. Captain America is just, like, despondent and, like, just, like, depressed and just, like, this is all fucked. Like, we're just, like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened ever in the history of the universe.
Yeah, Thor's doing God knows what.
Thor's off, like, what the hell is he doing, you know? And then...
Thor's like, I thought I got him.
And then Rocket...
Should have gone for the head.
Yeah, and then Rocket, you know, is just, like, finally showing the emotion because, like, his whole team is fucking dead now.
Right, yeah, he has no one.
Like,
the only
person Groot,
he has is Thor.
Yeah, and Groot, you know, the loss of Groot is gonna, like, weigh heavily on him. And
again.
You know, just, like... And it's just, like, I just love where this is going. And so I'm so excited for this. And then and then moving on to Spider-Man, you know, like...
Well, here,
I can't wait to see Spider-Man.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say that, like, Thor is definitely slowly went from, like, one of the most ancillary characters and just, like, a character that I just brushed off to my favorite MCU character. He's not my favorite... Hulk is still my favorite comic book, but Thor and what Taika Waititi did in Ragnarok easily, boom, skyrocketed him to number one.
Oh, yeah.
And he's so entertaining. And when he hits down on Wakanda and he's talking to Captain America and he's like, I see you've copied
my beard.
And then he's like, have you met my friend Tree? I lose it every time. I'm like, this is so... It's so great. They've made him into a character. He was a Shakespearean actor, just for some reason stuck in this world, and now he feels like he can really exist, and he's like a fully fleshed out character.
Oh yeah, it's so great, like what they have done with all these characters.
Oh, so
you know,
great.
Like I love Iron Man 3 with the post traumatic stress disorder.
I could give or take that for real.
Well, I think it's great because, like, again, it's like talking about what hasn't been done in the superhero realm, and that is one of the things that hadn't been done. You know, it's just like how does one of these characters feel after an event like this? How does it affect them psychologically?
They didn't nearly go into it enough, and that's just my opinion on Iron Man 3.
Yeah, I feel like they struck a real good balance. I mean, Shane Black, I feel like, was perfect to take over from Jon Favreau because Shane Black is just incredible. I mean, you know, Kiss Bang Bang,
and what he would have done with his third movie though.
Oh yeah,
Jon Favreau, that would completing the trilogy. That's always in the back of my mind. It's that, and what the hell was that? That Chris Miller or that Lord and Miller Han Solo movie.
Yeah,
it's like those are the two things I want to see.
And then, but also the Edgar Wright Ant-Man.
No, see, I can live without that because I love what.
They did a great job, but still, like Edgar Wright. I mean, especially you know when he had this such a great movie in Baby Driver, you know, and like just his visual style with like the ice cream and blood trilogy with you know Simon Pegg, you know,
Cornetto.
There you go, I think that would have been really cool too. But yeah, but Peyton Reed obviously did a great job. Yeah. And then like Ant-Man and the Wasp was a lot of fun.
It was great. It's definitely not up there for me, but I did like it. Ant-Man yeah. and the Wasp.
I mean, like Ant-Man is always one of these characters that's you know no one really I think has ever taken too seriously.
No.
But like I feel like they did a great job. I mean, Paul Rudd I feel like was perfectly cast.
Right. And like they didn't do the normal Ant-Man thing. They didn't give us Hank Pym. They gave us a Scott Lang Ant-Man and everyone just accepted it because who the fuck cares? It's Ant-Man.
Yeah. And then we get Hank Pym, but we get him
as an older and he's not Ant-Man anymore. And
it's the whole thing of, like we were saying, you know, a new person coming in and taking the mantle from the previous.
Right. The MCU, like we already said, the MCU has just done things that
there's some
can and will never be done before.
Yeah, they captured lightning in a bottle.
Again, yeah. Not before.
They captured lightning in a bottle. There's magic floating through the air and they sucked it into an air tank and locked that shit up and then released a little bit of it every year.
In 2008, no one cared about Iron Man. No one read Iron Man comics. He wasn't the most popular Marvel character.
It was a really ballsy move for them to start with Iron Man.
They got an actor who was notoriously difficult and drunk and
drugs.
And drugged up.
Yeah, jail. And
now we have Endgame coming out.
It's just
it's incredible.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that we need to, you know, definitely, you know,
applaud. Yeah, their work, John Favreau and Kevin Feige and all the people at Paramount for doing that first movie.
Yeah, because that took a lot of guts to do it.
Because if that doesn't work, we don't have the rest of the movies.
Yeah, like
we would have probably gotten Hulk that same year, but we don't have Thor. We don't have a Captain America.
Yeah, like even if we did get those other movies, if each one of them doesn't do just as well as they needed to, then it's just going to be like how it's been in the past. You know, you get your X-Men, but that's by 20th Century Fox, and then you get your Spider-Mans from Sony.
And it all started because, I mean, they just used what characters they had lying around. They didn't have Spider-Man. Those guys, he got sold off.
Yeah, they didn't have Fantastic Four.
They didn't have X-Men. Hulk originally. That was over at Universal Studios.
Yeah.
They didn't have any of the X-Men. They didn't have the Fantastic Four. Metal Man.
Yeah, Iron Man and Cap. Let's get Captain America and
the X-Men. Let's work towards the Avengers because that's who we can put in the team, even though we can't put, like, everyone in the team.
Yeah. So it's like, it's going to be very interesting, especially to see how they integrate the new characters and getting back from the deal.
Where are they going to go? Because, like, we know we're going to lose people in Endgame. Like, Chris Evans has talked about being done.
Oh, well, Chris Evans has said that that Endgame is going to be his last.
Yeah. I mean, whatever direction they go, I have full faith that they're going to kill it. There's not a Marvel movie that comes out now that I'm worried about being bad.
Yeah. The only thing is that, like, again, coming back to the TV shows, if they are done with the Netflix shows, like, and they recast those roles, especially Punisher and Daredevil, I'm going to lose my fucking shit.
I don't think that's
going
to happen.
If they bring it over to their streaming service, I think that's fine.
Yeah, no, they're not going to bring it to the Disney Plus streaming service. Disney acquired Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to move over to Hulu.
I mean, if that's what they do and they keep these shows going, because I want more Defenders, I want more Punisher, I want more Daredevil.
Iron Fist cliffhanger, I'm like, I have to see this. Colleen Wing just ignited her sword. Danny Rand is using chi bullets, like, in two pistols. Like, I have to see this.
Like, yeah, if they just are done with that stuff, I'm gonna lose my fucking shit. And after this year, I probably, you know, I'll boycott Marvel if that's what happens.
Oh, come on.
I can't take it, dude. Like, as I said, Punisher's my favorite.
But if it was only canceled because of the fact that Disney as a company is doing their own thing and creating their own streaming service.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's totally fine. But like I said, they gotta move the stuff over. Because, I mean, like, and I wish they would integrate it more with the MCU proper, like the films and stuff. Because, I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that integrates with all the time. Like, Sam Jackson's on it, Joss Whedon produces it.
They don't do that anymore, and you know why. There's a man named Kevin Feige who's running the movies, and there's a man named Ike Perlmutter who's running the TV side, and they fucking hate each other. And that's why. That's literally the reasoning.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, that's kind of a downer note to end on,
right?
But no,
then let's not end quite there. Let's talk about any predictions we have for Endgame, because
Endgame I think is going to be really interesting because some of the stuff that's been leaked.
You also haven't talked about Spider-Man, but yeah.
You know, but yeah, like some of the stuff that's been leaked.
I've completely been avoiding that stuff. Like, even plot details I haven't read into.
Yeah, like there's this whole possibility of time travel and Tony going back to the Battle of New York. Stuff like that could happen. And then, like, they're definitely gonna, like, that was a mistake they did make, though, was they advertised Spider-Man way too soon.
And you know why? Fucking Sony.
Yeah.
Sony's like, we're not gonna wait around until we only have 2 months to start, like,
our
advertising our film. Yeah. We're gonna put out a trailer now. Like, sorry, not sorry. And I'm just like, you fucking studios and your dang.
And the worst thing, and what makes it even worse though is Glass, because Glass shows what can happen when two studios put aside their egos and just let a filmmaker do their thing, because Unbreakable was over here, and then Split was over here, and then, you know, and then M. Night Shyamalan was like, dude, guys, let's do this, you know, let's marry this stuff. And they made Glass, which is absolutely magnificent, you know, and it's like they did it for $10 million, and it was like M. Night Shyamalan's money.
You keep hyping up Glass, and I've just let you. I mean, I liked it a lot, but that third act really disappointed.
See, I disagree.
That crazy nonsense twist for no reason.
I thought that was just fantastic. Because it leaves the door open.
It builds up so much and, like, is so good. The first two acts build up so well, and these characters are really questioning who they are and what they've believed for years.
Again,
and
it's like, what
hasn't
been done?
And then they just fight in the parking lot.
I thought that was... That's great, though. That's fantastic.
And it's all not real.
What do you mean it's not
real? Or it all is real.
Yeah.
The whole time she was convincing him it's not real and it is real.
Yeah. Like, it's... Well, yeah. It's just... But I thought...
It was just a big... It was kind of a letdown for me. Especially after liking Split as much as I did.
I mean, yeah. Like, see, like, I fully understand, you know, other people, you know, have their thoughts and stuff like that. And the nice thing about Glass is I don't have to worry about people not liking it because it did its business. It made its money back in the first weekend.
You took two posters. It's great.
Yeah, it's successful, you know, and it leaves the door open for you know, someone
for
else
more,
to come
sure.
along, which is so cool, because like I would totally make a movie in that universe where it's just like, you know, like, hey, man, I'll get $10 million together and I'll go do it, you know, like, just...
Right. But yeah, to end on that, we'll end with Spider-Man.
Yeah, and just Spider-Man.
Sony really did just throw that out there for no reason.
They just took a dump on the porch.
Kinda.
And just was just like...
Nah, everyone knows Spider-Man isn't dead. Everyone knows Black Panther isn't dead. Like, you can't...
Kill these characters after one movie. You
can't kill the profitable characters off.
Yeah, especially after
and leave
getting
the
one
characters
movie
that
want
to quit.
Yeah, like especially when they've only like a lot of these guys have only done one movie of their own. Yeah. You know, like yeah, they've appeared in other stuff, but like there's only one Doctor Strange, only one Black Panther, there's only one Spider-Man movie right now. So it's like,
and they're all gone.
Yeah, and like
forever.
They're all. Yeah, so it's just like, well, you can't do that. Like, you've got to bring them back. So, right. But that's what that's going to be really interesting with Endgame, is just like seeing who does get the axe finally.
Yeah, dude, like, Endgame is just so many question marks, and I can't wait. But like I said, I'm excited for Spider-Man also. I can't wait to see what Jake Gyllenhaal does with Mysterio, because I'm not the biggest Jake Gyllenhaal fan. I think he's very overhyped and is kind of just like a... average actor. Brent Whiteside's the shots taken directly at you. But I'm excited. I'm really excited because I loved Homecoming. I loved how John Hughesy it was. I loved the younger Peter Parker angle. I loved Tom Holland as Spider-Man.
He's a fantastic.
I mean, there's some classic Spider-Man stuff that I would have loved to see in Homecoming, like the Spider-Sense, like give us actual Mary Jane in a relationship, and give us even the slightest mention of Uncle Ben. But truth of the matter is, we don't need any of that because we already have seen it so many times.
But also, you can't just throw all that into the first movie again because
sure.
we need somewhere to go.
Right.
So it's like that's what Far
I do like in the trailer. Yeah. There's like one of the big Easter eggs is that he has his suitcase, like briefcase, is Ben Parker on it.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
So yeah, it's just going to be a lot of cool stuff.
The MCU is great.
Yeah.
It's why I love film. It's really what got me. It's what got me in the door at a movie theater. It's like why I work where I work now. It's why I see movies as much as I can. It's why I love blockbuster movies so much, even though like they're not the greatest Oscar caliber movies, and I get criticized for it. But they're what entertain me. And
yeah,
like I said earlier, it's modern mythology. All these superheroes are what we as people like. Strive
well,
to
like,
be
like,
just like in ancient Greece and Rome, where they were looking up at these titans and gods, being like, "These are the people that we aspire to be, in the place that we aspire."
Well,
it's
kind of like what Elijah Price said in Unbreakable and Glass, isn't it? It's like comic books are just a different form of, I mean, like in his world, obviously, it's like that shit's real, but it's the same kind of
right
thing. It's just like this mythos, this mythology, this just like these. Legends of greatness and power and evil and
sure.
It's super entertaining.
Good versus evil. It's a tale as old as time.
Yeah.
A song as old as rhyme.
Yep.
Beauty and the Beast. Well, and that's where we're gonna end, folks.
Yeah, that's gonna that's gonna do it for us. Thank you so much, Mr. Brett Trail, for
Anytime,
coming
man.
On
I
the
love
show.
That.
It's great to finally got you on here after all
right.
these months of talking about it. I think the episode went really good, so looking forward to having you back on the show.
Absolutely,
thanks so
man.
Much for being here.
Anytime.
And thank you all for listening. It is a long one, so if you stuck around for the whole shebang...
You'll get to hear me sing Beauty and the Beast, and that's really worth the price of admission. Right
yeah, you guys, yeah, so it's great. So thank you so much for listening and sticking around and hearing this stuff, and you know we'll see you, Brett, again, hopefully sometime soon. That's going to be our show for tonight. Thank you so much for listening once more. For more content you may enjoy, please check out our morning show, Morning Mangami with Heath LaBombard, your host, and our other social media content across the social media platforms at Mangami Players. And we're done. Have a good night. Thank you so much.
The Nightcap with Jim podcast is a Mangami production, hosted by James Smith, produced by Heath LaBombard and James Smith. For more Mangami content, visit Mangami Players all across the social medias.